Ave Maria in the afternoon, examining the world through the lens of faith from the heart of the church to help us navigate the culture. Here's Dr. Marcus Peter.
Good afternoon and welcome to today's episode of Ave Maria in the afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter. As the United States marks International Religious Freedom Day Sunday, we confront yet another year of intense, widespread religious persecution literally around the globe. People of faith, including Catholics, have been the object of egregious attacks in Nicaragua, Nigeria, North Korea, Pakistan, Cuba, and of course, China. We take a closer look at all of this with our friend Andrea Pachotti-Bear, who is a legal analyst with EWTN News. She joins us every week, and we constantly talk about these things. Now, one thing I do want to point out for all of us as we listen to these pieces of news is that we should never lose sight of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, who is ultimately victor over even the ebbs and flows of culture. The church didn't come so that we can just sway the culture or we can just surf over the culture. Yes, on the one hand, we do want to strive to navigate the culture well, but we have to remember that all that's good, true, and beautiful about our culture, in Western civilization especially, is the result of Christendom. And so we have tremendous hope in all of those foundational principles and ideals that give us these great heritages. And ultimately, we have tremendous hope in Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has conquered even the very faces of evil that we are seeing rearing their ugly heads in the modern sphere today. So do not lose hope. We talk about this so that we can engage in the fight, and there are those who are engaging in the fight virtuously. We move on from there to speak with Patrick Verhilly about San Damiano Scholars, a program that's attempting to build disciples. This is a program at Marian University. It's a unique program dedicated to helping students become faithful missionary disciples, and it's yielding tremendous fruit. They're paving the way amongst numerous other programs of this like across the country and the world for young people to develop true senses of discipline and discipleship. This is about learning to love the Lord amidst their academic responsibilities and their collegiate responsibilities and to live their faith in the world. So Patrick Verhilly will join us to speak about this. And then finally, we are joined by my friend, Father Wade Menezes. He has recently penned a meditation book for men. And I cannot stress this enough, us men need to rise up. So we'll spend two segments talking about this. For now, the headlines.
Thank you, Marcus, and good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Wednesday, October 30th. It's the feast of St. Angelus of Acre. And today's news is brought to you by the Ave Maria Family of Funds at avemariafunds.com. Election Day is fast approaching as the candidates campaign in swing states today. Vice President Harris is heading to Pennsylvania and Wisconsin after she spoke in North Carolina earlier. Former President Trump is speaking in North Carolina and then will hold a rally in Green Bay, Wisconsin with former NFL quarterback Brett Favre. Trump's running mate J.D. Vance will hold a town hall in Pennsylvania, while Harris's running mate Tim Walz will make multiple stops in North Carolina. U.S. Central Command reports the military conducted several strikes on ISIS camps in Syria earlier this week. It says the strikes conducted on Monday resulted in the deaths of nearly three dozen ISIS operatives. Senior ISIS leaders were the targets of the airstrikes. Scientists are hopeful a new experimental brain zapping can help people overcome their addictions to drugs and alcohol. Doctors at West Virginia University's Rockefeller Neuroscience Institute have a special $1 million helmet and goggles that people wear while being shown images of what they're struggling with. The helmet then pulses parts of the brain with ultrasound waves until the cravings are gone. So far, a reported three-quarters of the trial participants have remained substance-free for months. And the 2024 election cycle is stressing Americans out, and experts say the emotional reactions transcend generalized anxiety. Hyperpartisanship, political violence, and overwhelming ads have measurable health effects, inducing high levels of stress-related hormones in the body, leading to heart disease, weight gain, and diabetes. According to an American University poll published last month, 32% of Americans ages 18 to 34 are feeling both nervous and scared about the upcoming election. Kaiser Permanente found that 5 days after the 2020 elections, hospitalizations for heart attack, stroke, and heart failure went up 17%. From the AveMariaRadio.net news desk, I'm Dan McGraw.
Good afternoon, welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. As we constantly hear about, read about, and we hear about here on Ave Maria in the afternoon as well, the Catholic faith has always been in modernity, under attack. Joining me to have this conversation is our friend Andrea Pachotti-Bear, legal analyst for EWTN News. She also runs the Conscience Project, and you can follow her work at conscience-project.org. Andrea, thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great, Marcus. Thank you. I actually feel like I have some good news.
I know we always lament about the fact that the news isn't always that promising. So let's present just how dark the things are. The fact is, as you rightly note, across the world, the Catholic Church is under attack, in many cases even in danger of life. Now, what's the good news?
You know, the good news is that Catholics are at the forefront, especially U.S. Catholics, in speaking in and promoting international religious freedom. And we know that there's a big connection between international or religious freedom in a region and the stability of that region, both economically and politically, stability. So it almost is this moment where we can feel kind of a little bit of a pride that that people in the church here in the United States are dedicating their time, their talents, their prominence to the issue and the importance of religious freedom, both at home and abroad.
And therein lies this tremendous amount of assurance that because of the freedoms we enjoy here in the United States of America, and I can say this from firsthand experience as well, we don't have the kind of persecutions, religious persecutions especially, that many other nations out there are encountering. And therefore, we ought to use these liberties to our advantage to constantly speak about and champion the cause of religious liberty in the world.
Absolutely. And Marcus, it's very interesting that not only are we able to talk about, you know, our own experience, our own American experience, and that the traditions that we've had as being, you know, a free, a country founded on principles of freedom of religion, freedom of speech, but we can also point to the benefit of religious freedom on other interests. For example, women's rights. When there's religious freedom, women fare better. And, you know, obviously we get a confused sense of what women's rights really are. But if we really understand what is good for women and for women's flourishing, religious freedom allows for women to flourish and allows for them to pursue their natural callings to maternity and to being able to contribute to their communities. So it's kind of a great way to say, you know, I almost feel like, if anyone's ever watched My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where Windex was a solution to everything, I truly believe that religious freedom is a core solution to many of the problems that we're facing in society today.
And just to kind of go on a positive tangent here, or at least a pertinent tangent, our founding fathers believed in this in the exact same principle. And you take a look at our Bill of Rights, and there's a reason why all of the other rights, in one way, shape, or form, derive from the notion of religious liberty and all the liberties that we receive as endowed by our Creator.
No, you're right. And you know what? Our church leaders have as well. And we know just recently, you know, from Dignitatis Humanae, the Declaration on Religious Freedom that was written down during the Second Vatican Council, the church realized not to lower the dignity or the truth of the Catholic Church as being kind of the custodian of the plenitude of truth, but to basically say with religious freedom, people can have that freedom to find a personal relationship with God and the freedom to be able to pursue the truth. It's also very important for the church as an institution. And so we know that the church, you know, as an institution is working in so many important ways to alleviate human suffering, as well as to fulfill its mission to bring souls to our Lord. And with religious freedom, we're able to operate effectively in that way as well. So both our founding fathers and our more modern church leaders have very beautifully articulated this preeminent truth about the human person and the importance of that freely having a relationship a free relationship to pursue.
Yeah.
That.
And in fact, it's an important thing that we ought to highlight too, that in particular, this notion of religious freedom in a truly virtuous, free society with true liberty, that's a heritage of Judeo-Christianity, and particularly, as you mentioned, the plenitude of truth in the Catholic Church. It's not something that you're going to find as a natural overflow from many other religious systems, Islam being one in particular, but many other religious systems and nations that are founded on those principles don't share that same heritage that Judeo-Christianity has lent to the world.
Well, and I think you're right. There are some modern Muslim leaders in the U.S., in particular, our current ambassador at large for international religious freedom is the first Muslim American to hold that position, mm-hmm. and trying to speak with his kind of co-religionists. Also, there are representatives at the Religious Freedom Institute as well that are working within the Muslim community mm-hmm. to find within their tradition. But I really, again, want to bring it back to the kind of place of pride that we can have as Catholics, that we have a really impressive track record
yeah.
of U.S. Catholics leading and being both leaders and promoters of religious freedom abroad. My good friend Tom Farr, who's president emeritus of the Religious Freedom Institute, mm-hmm. was one of the first career people in the Department of State that was in the Office of International Religious Freedom. And also a former colleague of mine, Maureen Ferguson, is now a recent commissioner at the U.S. Commission for International Religious Freedom. And these are coherent, committed Catholics who see that this is important for our church and important for our world. And it's really at times where we see the kind of very depressing and difficult situation
yeah.
that many people, Christians, Catholics face abroad. We know that there are people that are working hard, speaking for their freedoms, and really rallying all of us to know that there's a lot that we can do, and particularly we can start with our prayer for them.
Yeah, and even as you mentioned this, I'm thinking of Bill McGurn and everything that he's done to be at the forefront of this fight for freedom for Jimmy Lai. And you and I have talked about Jimmy Lai in the past. So there is much to be done. And Catholics, virtuous Catholics, are leading that charge. And it is a source of pride, but it's also a rallying cry, a clarion call for all of us to take up arms however we can.
Absolutely, Marcus. And this is really one of those things at a time where we I'll kind of feel a little powerless heading into an election. This is something in which we really can wrap our arms around.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that we can do. And like I said, we can never discount the importance of prayer. Prayer for the persecuted, prayer for people who are struggling, who are courageously standing up for their faith and defending the rights of others to live their faith freely.
Yep. Well, Andrea, as is always the case, I'm tremendously happy to speak with you about all of this. Let's leave on a note of real hope and encouragement and exhortation here. As you and I continue to talk about the state of religious liberty in our nation, there is much that we can be hopeful for on the horizon.
I couldn't agree more. Thanks, Marcus.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Andrea. My guest was Andrea Picciotti-Bear, legal analyst for EWTN News. And as I mentioned earlier, there is a tremendous amount to be hopeful for. Andrea and I will continue speaking about these issues as they come up, especially as the Supreme Court's docket gets filled with cases and we come to discover what more and more of these cases look like in terms of religious liberty. What I do want to highlight is what Andrea was highlighting earlier, that we have cause for celebration, but we also have cause for taking up arms. Religious liberty is the foundational liberty principle from which all of our other freedoms on a democratic level, in a virtuous republic, can be overflow from, that can be derived from. So, if we are serious about the dignity of the human person and about the liberties that we can sometimes take for granted here in the United States of America, then let's appreciate religious liberty, fight for it where we can, preserve it where it ought to be preserved. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is sponsored by Workforce Pay Hub, providing payroll, time tracking, HR management, and benefits administration, all with a dedicated customer-centric service team. More information can be found at workforcepayhub.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Missed the beginning? Can't catch the end? Or you want to hear it again? All Ave Maria Radio programs can be heard at AveMariaRadio.net or on the Ave Maria Radio app. Then share it with your friends to help spread the Catholic faith. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
St. Therese once told her sister Celine that when we trust ourselves and not God, our soul becomes barren and incapable of virtue. Her remedy? External works of charity. We all try to do it on our own sometimes without asking for God's help. At St. Paul Evangelization, we suggest sharing the gospel with someone who needs it. Check out streetevangelization.com to find a team near you where you can share the love of Jesus. If there isn't one in your area yet, perhaps God is calling you to start a team in your city. To learn more, visit streetevangelization.com.
Good afternoon, welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. The San Damiano Scholars Program at Marian University is a unique program dedicated to helping students become faithful missionary disciples. For the first time, the program is offering full tuition scholarships for students who want to learn how to love the Lord and live their faith in the world. Patrick Verheiley tells us more. Patrick works with the San Damiano program in Marian University. Patrick, thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, thank you. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. So, San Damiano, you've got this whole story of Francis and rebuilding the church, and I believe that that's the thrust of this program. So tell us about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the story of St. Francis of Assisi, as a young man, found himself before this crucifix in a broken-down wayward chapel just outside the walls of the town of Assisi in Italy. And in this chapel hangs this beautiful crucifix, but the chapel itself is falling into ruin. And so I don't know if it was out of desperation and trying to discover what God was really calling him to do, because at this point he had heard God speak to him, I think, a few times. But he asked God, "What do you want me to do with my life?" And he hears God speak to him, Jesus speak to him from the crucifix, "Francis, go rebuild my church, which you see is falling into ruin." And he begins to look around and he notices, yes, it is, the church itself is crumbling. And so he takes this call very literally and he sells his father's cloth and he starts to get materials to rebuild this church. And so he does so, and then he rebuilds another and another. And it's on the third that he recognizes that perhaps it's not physical structures I'm being called to build, but rather the people of God, starting with myself. And that kind of like transforms his life, and he begins to rebuild the church by the way he lives, embracing poverty and following the Lord in various ways. And so what we love about this story here at Marian University in Indianapolis is that there are young people today that are hearing God speak to them in many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to help them to answer God's call, even if it means doing the most obvious thing that they may think, because it's in that doing that they come to discover something more. They come to encounter God in the doing, oftentimes, and it helps them to better maybe respond to what is it that God is really asking of me in my life.
Right.
And it may not have been that obvious thing right off the bat, and that's okay. And so our program is all about helping college students to discern God's call for their life.
Yep. And what's so brilliant about the program, too, is in a culture, a milieu, society, and even a campus culture that is antithetical to the orthodox teachings of the church, a program like this is really aiding students in discovering a deepening of their faith and standing boldly against the onslaught of the culture.
Yes, exactly. Part of it is stepping out of the culture and finding moments to do that while you're in college. But for us young people, it's good that they are also, have their life in the world too, and to see and recognize there are other people that hunger for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so they become real agents of evangelization. And helping to share the good news, to help to share the story of Christ with other people, in Indianapolis.
So, what are some of the ways in which the program aids students in coming into that deepening call of their sense of discipleship, discipline, and discerning God's call for the Lord from the Lord?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's many different ways, but I think it starts kind of for us is. Them telling their own story,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe hearing themselves tell their story through kind of our interview application process. I would say that's maybe step one. But then once they come to college, there's many things that we kind of guide them through, and that's developing a prayer life. It is engaging in service opportunities, and college being a time where it's about like your own formation. It's easy to kind of turn inward at Marion. We help you to step outside of yourself and engage in community, to meet other people, to think about how the Lord is calling you to serve others. Various opportunities like internships are helpful in that manner as well. One of the key things, I mentioned this already, but the biggest thing about the Sanam Scholar Program is community.
Mm-hmm.
How are we growing together as a people of God? And it not become just so personal or just focused on my own personal growth. And that happens best in community. Other people seeing things in us we may not see in ourselves.
And
so the value of community is tremendous.
And that's, I couldn't agree with you. It is tremendous, especially for young people discerning their own place in the world. And one of the ways that the organization is attempting to foster the development of their collegiate experience for their scholars is by providing 75 tuition scholarships.
Yes, absolutely. Marion University is very serious about investing in young people
mm-hmm.
That want to be transformational leaders in the church and in the world, to be missionary disciples sent out on mission. And so these tuition opportunities vary, and some of them leading up to full tuition. And Marion's been doing this for 20 years now, so just a long history of investing in young people, preparing and equipping them, and intentionally recruiting them to be a part of a serious formation program
mm-hmm.
here at Marion.
And so let's talk about, for example, the work of discernment in a particular way. So you've got programs that aid in the development of community, the development of a kind of camaraderie and fellowship between the scholars. But there are directed ways in which this discerning God's call for your life becomes a true mission of being part of the program.
Yeah, it certainly is. And a lot of that has to do with, we have check-in meetings with students regularly, kind of one-on-one opportunity and space for them to talk about what's going on in their life. What are they noticing? What are they seeing? What are they observing about themselves and what they're hearing in prayer and where God is leading them? And so those are sacred spaces for them to, take steps and to talk through with a trusted mentor, how God might be calling them, even if it is something different than what they came to Marion for, or maybe what their parents desire of them, and helping them to navigate those things in a one-on-one basis. And there's plenty of other opportunities like retreats and daily mass. Those kinds of things really help students to come to discover more of what God is speaking into their hearts and where he's leading them to.
And one of the ways you see this manifest in even the academic career is the necessity that being part of the program means that you will either double major or at least have a minor in ministry studies.
Yes, correct. How important that is right now in our world. I think there's such a focus on doing. What am I going to do with my life? What will I be doing for my life's work? And that's not an important question, but the theology and the studying of ministry studies is more about who are they becoming,
mm-hmm.
and helping them to dive deeper into a better understanding of God, the life of God, the church, the sacraments, the human person, right?
These
things are incredibly important. And so students all minor in ministry studies or major in ministry studies, along with whatever it is that their intended area of study is.
So there are a lot of parents right now who are listening, a lot of young people who are discerning college life as well who are listening. Just say a word of encouragement to them to apply not only to Marian University, but consider the San Damiano Scholars Program.
Oh, yeah. If you're looking for a community of people who truly love you and are seeking what's best for you, we have it here at Marian University. And we'd love to accompany you and walk with you in your journey over the next 4 years. I would start with submitting an application. Our deadline is November 1st. Give an extension to anyone that's listening to the November 15th if you need more time. Marian.edu/Sandam, S-A-N-D-A-M.
Well, thank you so much, Patrick. My guest, Patrick Vahili, and he works with the San Damiano Scholars Program at Marian University. It's a unique program that fosters intentional discipleship and discerning God's call for your life. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
Support for this Ave Maria radio program comes in part by the non-for-profit St. Anthony Services. Are you shopping for mortgage products, Catholic investing, Catholic health, real estate, or estate planning? StAnthonyServices.org can help you find a Catholic professional for these needs. They regularly connect faithful citizens with faith-based professionals that share our Christian values. More information at StAnthonyServices.org or 877-LIFE-US1.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I come from the other side of the tracks, see? My uncle used to have slot machines. Put one nickel in and it's emptied. Boom. And I brought him home in a bag, and my mother looked at me. Where did you get all that money? I said, I won them. You didn't win them. He fixed the machine. I didn't care if he fixed the machine or not, no?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
My daughter told me she was published in a scientific journal as an undergrad. I'm so proud of her. The world needs Catholic physicists, and my daughter's going to be one of them.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus states that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, "I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire his blood, which is love incorruptible." The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at His word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
How do we define sin? The Catholic Catechism defines it in detail, calling sin an offense against reason, truth, and right conscience, a failure in genuine love for God and neighbor, caused by a perverse attachment to certain goods. St. Augustine defines sin as an utterance, a deed, or a desire contrary to the eternal law. It is an offense against God. King David lamented, "Against you, and you alone, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." We sin when we love ourselves even to contempt of God. The Catechism points out that sin in all its ugly forms is exercised against Christ during the Passion. Ironically, at this darkest hour, the light of Christ's sacrifice becomes the inexhaustible source for the forgiveness of sin. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. As you've often heard me talk about on Ave Maria in the afternoon, the reality of men needing to rise up and reclaim a true sense of what the spiritual call for manhood is now more pressing than ever. And some Catholic devotional books are written specifically for men, and they feature excerpts from Scripture. Father Wade Menezes' book is different. It includes daily reflections that comprise both scripture and saint quotes, but along with a relevant meditation that's meant to jumpstart and strengthen a man's spiritual life. The hope here is that doing this will put you on this journey of the difficult journey, to be sure, of virtuous sainthood. Father Menezes is the author of most recently Stand Firm, Be Strong, a men's Catholic daily devotional of scripture and saints, and he's a member of the Fathers of Mercy. Father, it's so great to speak with you. How are you?
I'm doing great, Marcus, and thank you for having me on. It's fantastic to finally get to meet you, at least over the phone, and talk to you one-on-one. I've been looking forward to this time together very much.
Well, Father, I must say that the feeling's completely mutual. I'm just going to confess, I was both honored and surprised to hear from you when you asked me to write a blurb about your book, and I was just blown away by the succinctness, but also the necessity of calling men out to be virtuous. And I'd like to start there. We have a culture that's telling us to become less and less truly masculine. In the process, the meaning of manhood is all but lost.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We've lost sight of our faith. We've lost sight of our reason, right? And when faith and reason go out the door, anything can happen.
Yeah.
And this was my impetus for wanting to write a book in a genre that I believe lacks in our Catholic library.
Mm-hmm.
Over the 2,000-year history of the Church, a particular specific genre that lacks in our Catholic library, and that is the genre of the daily devotional,
mm-hmm.
meant to be a daily reader per se,
right.
Specifically for men, specifically for males. There's plenty out there for females. And for men, we have things like books of prayer, spiritual manuals,
mm-hmm.
Manual of spiritual warfare, how to be a great husband, how to be a great father. And all those particular categories are fantastic and great. But I wanted something that the individual man could go to daily
mm-hmm.
in the morning to begin his day. And then specifically, as I write in the introduction, go back to that same meditation that he read that morning. Go back to it a couple more times a day, maybe once in the afternoon, once in the evening, for a total of 3 times reading throughout the day
mm-hmm.
that will help him to really grow in that particular virtue, if it's a virtue, or grow in that particular topic, or to turn away from that particular topic if it's something like hypocrisy.
Right.
Or lack of self-knowledge. You know, we want them to grow in self-knowledge. We want them to turn away from hypocrisy and things like that. So I felt we were lacking in that genre of the daily devotional, specifically for males. And then you have the crisis, which you just alluded to, Marcus, amongst men, amongst males, things like particularly or specifically the increased divorce rate, the increase mm-hmm. of fatherless homes,
yep.
The increase in what is seemingly just a lack of commitment overall in the spiritual life among males. So that was the second reason why I wanted to write this book, was to counteract those areas.
And the way in which this book works to counteract all of that is not so much to tackle those issues as individual issues. One of the things I loved is it's about that walk to sainthood, right? That you and I talked about in our correspondence for a bit. It's about incremental daily discipline, which is something I love and I strive to live by, that we've lost sight of in the culture. Being men of discipleship means being men of discipline and consistent commitment. And we have a culture that's way too entrenched in the pleasure principle that yeah. notion is lost.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, you encapsulated pretty well the whole reasoning behind my putting out the book in your endorsement in full. And then we pulled an excerpt from your endorsement because it really conveys for promotional purposes what the book is all about. And I'm going to read that excerpt from your own endorsement, Marcus, if that's all right, on your own show. You wrote, and I quote, "This is a 200-day journey, not just to virtuous manhood, but to manly sainthood. The world needs more holy men who reflect Jesus Christ. This book will help you become such a man," end quote. Now, that's an excerpt from your more fuller quote, which appears at the beginning pages of the book itself. But we use that pulled quote that I just read verbatim for the promotional purposes because you nailed it. You nailed it. And it's a 200-day journey, not a 365-day journey. It's a 200-day journey because I wanted to do a book for men that would be a solid 6 months, a mm-hmm. solid half a year, where they could commit daily. And, you know, 6 months is 183 days.
Yep.
And who's going to write a 183-day daily devotional? So Father Wade wanted to round it off at an even 200. So I went ahead and did an even 200. And I thought about doing the full 365, but unfortunately that would have made the book what's categorized as textbook size. And I didn't want that. I wanted the daily reader size, 8.5 by 5.5. So that's what we went with. And you know, if there's a volume 2 in the future that the Holy Spirit calls me to do, I'll finish up the year beginning with day 201. But this book coming out now, available now, pre-orderable now from EWTNRC.com and deliverable after November 15th, Stand Firm, Be Strong, A Men's Catholic Daily Devotional of Scripture and Saints. Each day begins with a topic or a phrase at the top, like commitment, or growth in self-knowledge, or accountability, or baptismal priesthood, or how to get more out of this holy sacrifice and sacred banquet of the Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that heading at the top of each page of each of the 200 days meditations, right after that heading at the top of the page, Marcus, comes three things in this very specific order.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture quote, or a scripture quote that revolves around that theme at the top of the page in bold print, followed by a saint quote, followed by Father Wade's meditation. Mm-hmm. So every day you get the scripture quote, the saint quote, and Father Wade's meditation on that topic at the top of the page. And some of those topics I'll just share now. I've said a few of them already. Accountability,
yeah.
commitment, darkness and light, truth, virtue and vice, purity of intention, embracing the cross, confidence, temptation, vigilance, trusting in the Lord, true friendship, camaraderie, the Eucharist, confession, again, how to receive more out of the holy sacrifice and sacred banquet of the Mass, grace, salvation, sin and guilt, the reality of the devil, custody of the eyes, spiritual blindness, hypocrisy, and rash judgment. Okay, so there you have it. Some positives and some negatives that I want the men to work on. I want them to root out the negatives. I want them to advance the positives. So I'm really hoping men will appreciate this book. And mind you, as you already know from the information I sent you on the book when I was seeking the endorsement from you, I have written this book, number one, for all states in life of men.
Yep.
Okay, singles, marrieds, widowers, bishops, diocesan priests, deacons, whether transitional or permanent deacons, and consecrated religious priests and religious orders like myself with the Fathers of Mercy, or consecrated religious brothers in community life. So all eight major states in life that I just enunciated, this is who that book is written for. And secondly, get this, not just for Catholic men.
Mm.
It's for any man, period. Namely for our Catholic men, yes, okay, but also for non-Catholic men. Look at the title there, Marcus. Notice I didn't say Stand Firm, Be Strong, a Catholic men's daily devotional
right, right.
Scripture and Saints. I didn't say that. I titled it Stand Firm, Be Strong, a men's Catholic daily devotional Scripture and Saints. So I want our Protestant brothers to get something out of this book. Maybe they want to know more about the Catholic faith and what the Catholic Church teaches about this or that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Purity before marriage, the baptismal priesthood as opposed to the ministerial priesthood, for example. Maybe a Protestant brother who's a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian wants to know more. How about a non-Christian brother like a Muslim or a Hindu? Maybe he wants to find out more about the Catholic Church. And maybe this book will even lead to a conversion to the faith.
Well, that's the hope. And we are continuing this conversation with Father Wade Menezes, who is the author, most recently, of Stand Firm, Be Strong, a men's Catholic daily devotional of Scripture and Saints. And I have to tell you, going through it sobered me. So stay tuned. We're talking about it more on the other side of the break. I'm Marcus Peter.
Ave Maria School of Law is the Roman Catholic law school in the United States. Consistently ranked in the Princeton Review as one of the best and most conservative law schools, as well as pre-law's most devout law school. Ave Maria School of Law provides a traditional legal education while emphasizing how the law intersects with the Catholic intellectual tradition and natural law philosophy. Ave Maria School of Law, unabashedly Catholic, consistently excellent. For more information, visit avemarialaw.edu.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at avemariaradio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit avemariafunds.com.
Sin creates a proclivity to sin, the Catholic Catechism teaches. It develops vice by repetition of the same wrong act. Thus, sin tends to reinforce and reproduce itself. Vice can be linked to the capital sins, which are called capital because they can engender other sins and other vices. The capital sins are pride, avarice, envy, wrath, lust, gluttony, and sloth. Sin is a personal act, but we can also be responsible for the sins of others under certain conditions. Sin can make men accomplices of one another, the Catechism warns, causing concupiscence, violence, and injustice to reign among them. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
The Heart of the Interior Life with Elizabeth Jingle.
In the 8th rule of St. Ignatius of Loyola's 14 rules for the discernment of spirits, St. Ignatius encourages us to be patient in an experience of spiritual desolation. What type of patience is St. Ignatius inviting us to? He writes in Rule 8, "Let one who is in desolation work to be in patience, which is contrary to the vexations which come to him." St. Ignatius understood the very real struggle within the human heart to be patient while experiencing the trial of spiritual desolation, an experience that can cause us to doubt God's plan of loving goodness for us. St. Ignatius invites us to a patient endurance during spiritual desolation. Father Timothy Gallagher writes, "A faithful patience that will not surrender in time of trial, but which actively and courageously perseveres until the trial passes and peace of heart returns."
For more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
Good afternoon, welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. One of the topics that gets me really excited to talk about is about men's spirituality, and for a lot of reasons, and some of you have heard my story before, and it brings me great joy to speak with, continue this conversation with Father Wade Menezes, who is the author of Stand Firm, Be Strong, a men's Catholic daily devotional of Scripture and Saints. I must admit, Father, I never picked up that subtle difference, and I love that you did that. And I want to point this out. That, like you mentioned earlier, that you and I were talking about, this great crisis of fatherhood that we're experiencing is really ultimately a crisis of manhood. And this is across the board. It's not the church that's suffering. Universally, manhood is suffering. And there's a real necessity for us to preach these perennial truths of the gospel into calling all men out to be virtuous.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. This is why in the book I want to address so much, Marcus, of the reality of the body-soul composite mm-hmm. that the human person is. You know, St. Thomas Aquinas teaches, as you well know, as human persons, we don't have bodies, we are bodies.
Right.
And as human persons, we don't have souls, we are souls. Mm-hmm. This is how intimate and intricate the body-soul compositeness is in the human person. And of course, as the Church teaches universally, so beautifully expounded upon in the Universal Catechism from 1992, from now St. John Paul II, the Church even considers the soul the form, quote-unquote, the form of the body, right? Mm-hmm. Its animating principle and so forth.
Right.
And of course, the body has its five sensory powers, sight, smell, taste, touch, and hearing. Mm-hmm. And the primary four faculties or spiritual powers of the soul are intellect, will, memory, and imagination.
Yep.
So these nine great gifts of the body-soul compositeness of the human person. I wanted to pick 200 topics that address not just the soul aspect, not just the body aspect, but both mm-hmm. to help form the full and total man, just as you intimate needs to be done in the formation of men spiritually, okay, right?
Yep.
So they can live their temporal secular lives working on their sainthood. So, for example, again, some of these will be redundant, but to get the point across, some of the spiritual topics to address the soul reality of man is the Eucharist, confession, grace, mm-hmm. salvation, the reality of the devil. Some of the temporal aspects to address more the bodily reality of the human person and their secular life, right, whether they're a farmer, a lawyer, a doctor, would be accountability, mm-hmm. commitment, a purity of intention in your daily tasks. How about faithfulness to daily duty, which is a part of theology that's very, very dear to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I love the theology of faithfulness to daily duty, working on the virtue of diligence, not being a sloth at one extreme, but surely not being a workaholic at the other extreme. Mm-hmm. But the virtue of diligence, which is the median virtue found halfway between the two extremes of slothfulness and workaholism, right?
Yep.
So, fraternity and camaraderie are two more areas that address more of the bodily aspect in regards to friendships, how friendships are manifested and lived. You know, what's the old maxim? You've heard it before, I'm sure. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your life.
Right.
In other words, virtuous friends means virtuous life. Viceful friends means viceful life. You know, garbage in, garbage out.
Yep.
Virtue in, virtue out.
Absolutely.
And so these types of things I wanted to expound upon in the book.
And Father, you're singing the a lot of the cries of my heart, as you well know. But I'm going to share this this little bit. I'm not sure if you knew this, but just growing up, I grew up around a lot of the gangster rap culture. And But a lot of men who experience, young boys who experience the reality of absentee fathers or fatherlessness, there's a real gravitation towards these organizations, these institutions that promise you different hierarchies and structures of fatherhood. In hindsight, I realized what was really going on was my soul was clamoring for what only the Catholic Church could provide, but I couldn't see it then. And what your book is providing for here is not only this call for the man to form himself well, but to rise up to that challenge of then spiritually fathering, if you will, the other boys in their life, to call out the virtuous men in them. I learned this that I may then foster and grow and raise up more virtuous men in the process.
That's exactly right. And in our lives, Marcus, as you well know, we want to foster those median virtues found between the two extremes on the left side and the right side. So, you know, just look at the seven capital sins, right? Pride, greed, lust, anger, gluttony, envy, and sloth. Let's just take four of them and look at their opposite extremes. So with pride, the opposite extreme is self-loathing.
Mm-hmm.
Both are bad, right? You don't want to be prideful, but you don't want to be a self-loathing individual either who hates himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's the median virtue found halfway between pride and self-loathing as a median virtue? Humility.
Yep.
Humility is seeing your place and taking it. So the prideful person is going to be called downward sometimes. In humility, the self-loathing person is going to be called upwards, like Scripture says, come higher, friend, right? So humility is the basis found midway between the two extremes, both bad, the two extremes of pride and self-loathing. How about lust? Opposite extreme of lust? Prudishness.
Right.
Hating human sexuality. We don't want to be a lustful person, but we surely don't want to be prudish either. Human sexuality is a great gift. It's meant to be nurtured and protected and expressed within its proper confines, namely within a covenantal union between one man and one woman for life.
Yep.
So what's the median virtue found between those two extremes of lust and prudishness? Chastity. We're all called to chastity, each one according to his or her own state in life. Even married couples are called to chastity, right? There are some things in marriage, for example, that are not permitted,
yep.
right? So the consecrated religious is called to chastity, right? So how about the third one would be gluttony, one of the seven capital sins, right? Gluttony. What's the opposite extreme? Deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Think of anorexia nervosa. The opposite extreme of being a glutton, right? So we don't want gluttony in our life. We don't want deficiency in our life. What's the median virtue? Everybody knows this answer. Temperance.
Yep.
We want to be temperate with created goods. We want to practice the virtue of temperance with created goods. And then the fourth one I'll take, I've already mentioned briefly, sloth, sometimes pronounced sloth.
Mm-hmm.
Opposite extreme, workaholism. We don't want to be a workaholic, but we surely don't want to be a couch potato and be slothful either.
That's right.
What's the median virtue?
Diligence.
St. Thomas says that diligence is doing what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it, in the way it's supposed to be done. How beautiful is that?
It's truly beautiful.
Do what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it, and in the way it's supposed to be done. So this is helping men see the importance of those median virtues in their life. You know, if I could say one more thing, too, because mm-hmm. we've talked quite a bit about the culture this half hour. And you know, I think the Holy Spirit's calling me to do something on this, what I'm mm-hmm. about to tell you. I haven't got all my thoughts together yet, but I have the preliminaries down on paper. Let me tell you what's gotten us into this mess of this third millennium, very secularistic, humanistic culture that we're now into 24 years and counting. And remember, Catholics, we're called to love the culture. We're called to love the culture so much precisely because we want to sanctify it and make it holy, right?
Yeah, right?
So we're not reclusivists. Vatican II was nothing about reclusivism. That said, there's a lot of problems right now in the third millennium culture with secular humanism and relativism. So in a nutshell, and I speak very, very cursory here, okay? But let me tell you, five men that got us into the mess we are now in, and it was these five individuals. The French philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre, he emphasized human freedom, which was great, but he denied morality,
yep.
which was not great. Sigmund Freud stressed human instinct,
mm-hmm.
which is a reality, but he suppressed the spiritual in the human person.
Yep.
Friedrich Nietzsche glorified the individual, but disdained the community and community life.
Yep.
Karl Marx, the founder of communism, did the opposite. He celebrated and esteemed the community, but he rejected the individual and individual rights.
Yep.
And then Charles Darwin was rightly so enamored with empirical science, but he excluded metaphysics.
Mm-hmm.
So all five of these guys got it right on some things, but not right on everything. And we have dwindled down into this society that we're now basically denying reality on certain things,
yeah.
like where transgender ideology is concerned.
And
we just outright deny reality.
Yep. And I could go on to build on that, Father. But again, these are all things that are very near and dear to my heart. This tracking the history of the devolution of truth and ideas in the modern culture and speaking the truths of the gospel into that culture is so crucial. And whether we like it or not, men were made to be those directive forces within society for that which is true, good, and beautiful. Every single major movement of global impact that has brought about the greatest flourishing in human history started because men rose up to undertake the responsibility necessary for changing the lives of others.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, we're naturally meant to be providers, protectors, defenders, not only of self and of women and of children, but of culture, to pursue the good, the true, and the beautiful in concrete daily actions. I think it's number 1803 of the Catechism, one of my favorite paragraphs in the Catechism. It says the whole purpose of virtue and virtuous living is to daily take the five bodily senses, sight, smell, taste, touch, and hearing, and the four primary spiritual faculties of the soul, intellect, will, memory, and imagination. Again, these nine great gifts of the body-soul composite that we are. And with them, with these nine great gifts, pursue the good, the true, and the beautiful in concrete daily actions, as opposed to pursuing their opposites, which would be, you know, against good, true, and beautiful, would be what? Bad, false, and ugly. We don't want to pursue the bad, the false, and the ugly. We want to pursue the good, the true, and the beautiful. It could be something as simple as a husband and father saying, okay, do I really need to watch this movie that I know that several good, solid Catholic publications have given a poor review on?
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't need to waste my time with that movie. To something more mundane as, you know, do I really need this second slice of blueberry pie with vanilla ice cream on it? You know, so we see it across the whole scale of things. But the fact is, we're called to be prudent in our choices in pursuance of the good, the true, and the beautiful.
Father, I want to say thank you for making the time to speak with us. And thank you for all these exhortations.
So you're welcome, Marcus. If I find my travels for the Fathers of Mercy taking me towards Ann Arbor, I'll look you up, and I want to have some good Indian curry.
My guest, Father Wade Menezes, author most recently of Stand Firm, Be Strong, a men's Catholic daily devotional of Scripture and Saints. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, for Ave Maria in the Afternoon, I'm Marcus Peter.